let me go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just need your anointing. Pour it out on me. Pour it on this place. Lord, we need you. We need that grace. We need that power of your presence. Fill us, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Okay, I have a message. My message is titled, Do You Get It? I think a lot of us grew up hearing that phrase, do you get it? Okay, I taught this last night in our Prieta, a little different, but pretty much the same thing. Okay, so I'm going to give you a text, and I got some examples. Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Okay, 1 John, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st John. Okay. Okay. I'm going to read verses 1 for 4, and this is in the New King James. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and we have heard, we declare to you. And that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Pastor Barbara asked me if I would preach last week, and Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara have been teaching a lot on the kingdom of God. There's nothing more important than God's kingdom. And the Lord he gave me three examples. So one of the things from the text I want to point out, and I want to go in order, because when I look at the original, when I looked at the Greek, the order is important. In verse John, it says, that which was from the beginning. We know that's the word. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, look at the order. That we have heard. That we have seen with our eyes. That we have looked upon. And our hands have handled. Concerning the word of life. Concerning Jesus Christ. So there's a progression. We heard it. We saw it. We looked. And that word looked, that's a deep word. It means gaze. It means set your heart and just really get into who that is. And then the last is to touch. Okay? So the Lord gave me three examples. Sometimes when we ask the question, do you get it? Sometimes we don't get it. And the best example I have, one time I was in a rehab in Mexico, and a guy passed me a note. It happens sometimes. And he's like, take this, man. So I did. I took it. And I read it on the way home. Never saw the man again. And I can remember, it was a couple, year or 2 years ago, Melissa may remember. And it just stuck in my mind. His note read, Pastor, mira, look, my problem is, and he went on to say, my problem is, soy de Hermosillo, I'm from Hermosillo, and I'm here, and my mom won't talk to me, and my brothers won't talk to me, and no one wants to talk to me. Now you gotta call my mom. Okay? He didn't get it. His problem wasn't because he was in a drug rehab. His problem was he was an out-of-control drug addict. And no one wanted to have anything to do with him. A gringo pastor isn't going to help this young man. Okay, example, he didn't get it. Okay, I'm going to give you another. Sometimes the Lord lets this happen. Sometimes the world gets it. And sometimes it's embarrassing when you see the world get it. Okay, I think some of you guys know, we were up in Flagstaff, and I was just cleaning through my stuff in Flagstaff, and I came across these. You guys probably don't know what these are, okay? I used to work for a company, a medical device company, and we made things to help people. Melissa calls this, she calls it a tube. and Nina's not here, but Nina might probably would know what this is. This is a graph for your artery, for your aorta. It's your biggest artery in your body. This is for a big man like you, Charles. And then I found this. This right here is for the aorta. It actually goes right about here. One goes for your one leg. The other goes for your other leg. This is what they call your abdominal aorta. And I saw that, and actually, just a little bit of history. Do you guys, everyone knows Albert Einstein? Albert Einstein died because he had an aneurysm right here in his aorta. One of the most famous men on the planet died. Okay, the doctors, when they saw the symptom, he had this pulsation. And they're like, we don't know what that is, but they took x-rays and they said, you have an aneurysm and you're going to die. And the doctors couldn't do a thing. Okay? So a few years back, some doctors figured out, let's make tubes to put it in the body. And a lot of people have these in them. Now, a young guy like Mitch, he would go through the operation. He would come out strong as a horse. But as you get older, your body can't handle cutting your artery in two. So these doctors that I worked with up in Flagstaff, they came up with an idea to put a stent. A stent is kind of like a wire, a system of wires. They put it into your body and expand it. But a stent can't fix this problem. So these doctors came up with this, where they put a stent in it, and they would put it in your body and expand it, and people 60, 70 years old would live 10, 15, 20 years. So that example, when I looked at that, is those doctors got it. What did they do? They took two things together, and they made it work. Okay? That's an example. Sometimes, one of the things the Lord keeps showing me is, we have what we need. The enemy will try to fool us and tell us we can't handle this world. The world's too complicated. The world's too violent. And our Lord is almighty. And he can do anything if we get it. If we get it. Okay? Now I'm going to give you another example. Sometimes Pastor Calvin... If you guys know Pastor Calvin, he likes to push us, right? He gets us in places. Sometimes we're not too comfortable, and it's good. The Lord does that, and it's a good thing. I go to places I'm uncomfortable all the time. And Pastor Calvin actually had me do a project right over here. He says, Ramon, hey, you know, these stairs are like gonna break. I need you to fix them. And I'm not a carpenter. And I was like, I don't know, you know, I've never done that. He says, no, you can do it. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I was very uncomfortable. I left here, and I was like, I'm going to make a mess of his building. And if you guys know, this building was built by craftsmen like 100 years ago who knew how to do things. I don't know how to do those things. And I had a dream. And the Lord told me, this is how you're to do it. And, okay, so I heard it from Pastor Calvin. I want you to do this. I saw it in a dream. And what did I do? I came here on a Saturday. No one was here. Peter was here. He let me in. And I gazed upon it. And I was like, I think I can do it. And I came in another Saturday. In 3 hours, I did it. So I want you guys to see the progression. I heard it. I saw it. I gazed upon it. And I touched it. Or in other words, I did it. Okay? So, I'm going to take you guys to the book of Hebrews. Actually, it scares me when, you know, there's an anointing in the house. When Pastor Calvin started preaching, he's like, oh, don't go to a few more chapters. That's my sermon. He'll steal my sermon before I can get to preach it. So, I want you guys to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. Okay, so my three examples, that young man in the rehab in Mexico, he didn't get it. Why? He didn't listen. Okay? And when we don't listen, we can't see it. Okay, those doctors I worked with in Flagstaff, they listened, they saw it, and they did it. An example I did over here is I listened, I saw it, I gazed upon it, and I did it. Okay? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Okay. I love this book because it's not exactly for sure who wrote it. I believe it was Paul, but it's really not what's important. I love this chapter. Let's go to verse 1 in the New King James. It says, now this is the main point of the things we're saying. My ears perk up. Why? Because this is the main deal. This is the main point of the things we've been saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. So I'm going to tell every believer in the hearing of my voice, all the lies of the enemy that you can't do anything, that you're not good enough, or you're not skilled enough or taught enough or educated enough to do something, that verse right there wipes it out. Why? Because we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. And I'm going to stop here because it's really interesting, Gustavo and Ruth, that you guys are here, because your daughter taught on Sunday. She shared about the tabernacle. And I've been spending a lot of time on the tabernacle. And it's the place where the Lord dwells. And it's so close. And Pastor Cowan and Pastor Barbara are teaching on this too, is the kingdom is so close that we should be able to touch it. It's so close, and it's ordered. It's so ordered. And I love the name of your church. And I don't know if you guys know how they spell it. Capital V-I, capital S-I-O-N. And in Spanish, Vision. I saw Zion. I saw the tabernacle. I saw the Lord. The kingdom is so close. And when you see it, you get it. So again, my message, do you get it? We should get it because it's this close. And when we see it, when we hear it, okay, you got to hear it. So many people, like when I minister in Mexico, I don't speak good Spanish. And sometimes they fade out. And sometimes when they do, I go, mírame. And they do. I look up. And I'll say, escúchame, esto es importante. And they do, they look up. So you got to hear, but you got to see. And it's not always visual. Sometimes it's that imagination, it's that vision from the Lord. The Lord, I don't know why, everyone's different, but the Lord seems to do this to me at night. And Melissa will be, she'll hear me scurrying around because it's like, I got to write this down. Because when the Lord gives me these things, I got to write them down. Okay? So again, the progression. Here we have our Lord. Who is? He's sitting at the throne of the majesty, at the right hand. A minister of the sanctuary. What's a sanctuary? That's where the Lord dwells. And the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, not man. The Lord, this kingdom that Pastor Calvin is preaching on, we don't make it. But we can see it and touch it. And I did this last night. I don't have the light here. But when I go, I was an hour prayer at the last night. And some of these rehabs, they're kind of dark. And this one was kind of dark. All it had was a light bulb right above me. And sometimes when I come in the room, some guy goes out and gets the light bulb and they screw it in so you can have a light. And I did this last night. I had a light bulb right above me. And I stuck my hand up, and it cast a shadow onto the ground. And I said, look at the shadow. I said, what does it look like? And they're like, kind of looks like your hand. That's the same thing with God's kingdom. God's kingdom is, and I'm gonna show you other places here in Hebrews. We can see just a shadow, but it's beautiful of what we can see. It's beautiful. So here it says, a minister of the sanctuary and true tabernacle, which the Lord directed, not man. God has built his kingdom. He wants us to participate with this building of his kingdom. Verse 3 says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Verse 4, for if we were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Let's stop there. The law. We all know the law is beautiful. The law is perfect. There's no errors in the law. But look what verse 5 says about the law. It's kind of like my hand. My hand last night cast a shadow. That shadow kind of looked like my hand, but it really didn't. It didn't look exactly like my hand. Verse 5. Who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern that I show you on the mountains. There's a lot there. There's a lot there in that one verse. Who serve what? The copy. It's an image. It's not the exact thing, but that's all we can see. Like when I put my hand up and they could see my shadow, it's kind of my hand, but it's not. When I see God's kingdom, it's a shadow. I can't exactly see it perfect, but I can kind of see it. And I'm going to give you examples that happen. This is fresh. This happened last night. I saw God's kingdom. I saw an image of God's kingdom, just a taste of it. It was beautiful. But I want to spend some time here because this is important for us to know. One of the things I know growing up as an American, we're really, it's kind of in our culture, this thing about being perfect. This thing about we got to do things perfect. And when I go to the incarcerated Mexico, I'm not like Gustavo, man, you preach awesome. I could never preach like you. Never. Not in a million years I could preach like you. I won't even try. But you know, when I go to Mexico and to the incarcerated, I'm good enough. They love me. I have so much fun. I'm good enough. But I'm not perfect. Again, the copy, the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed. Okay, that's another thing about what the Lord keeps showing me, is there is order. I got to hear, I got to see, I got to gaze upon, and what? I got to touch it, I got to do it. Okay, I could sit on my computer and come up with all great things. I could tell Melissa, you need to go do this. No, if that's my calling, I got to go do it. And I think most of you know, like where I go, even last night, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable. Like when I go in, I knock on a door and a guy comes through and opens up a peephole. Who are you? Oh, okay. And then they let me in. And then they lock the door behind me. And I look around and there's razor wire up on the walls and stuff. But I got to go. If I don't go, my heart hurts because I'm not completing what the Lord has told me to do. He has given me, told me, and he's given me a vision, and I've seen it. I've spent a lot of time seeing it, but I got to touch it. I got to do it. Okay? So here we have Moses, and in order. I can't go wing it. I can't go, you know, I'm just going to do it the way I want. No, I got to do it in order. Okay, here we have Moses. He was what? Divinely instructed. He didn't say casually. He was told what, how to make the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? Where the Lord dwells. And it says, see that you make all things according to the pattern I show you on the mountain. Do it according to what? Did he say do it exactly? Did he do it, say, perfectly? No, he said, do it to my pattern. Okay? And that's where I just got to be good enough. I'll never be perfect. Like I said, I'll never preach like that man there, ever. But I don't have to. The Lord tells me, do what I've given you to do. And the Lord just keeps showing me this over and over, is I have what I need to do. It's not going to be perfect. Doesn't have to be. But can I see God's kingdom? I see God's kingdom all the time. And it's beautiful. It's just an image. Okay? So here we let's go to verse 6. Again, Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now he, this is the Lord. Now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Okay, this is one of the things that I really love about our pastors, Calvin and Barbara. They keep telling us there's something better coming. A lot of people are teaching, you know, if you just do it my way, everything will be great. Something better is coming. What we did last year is not good enough. And that's okay. I'm content with that. It's going to be better. And why? Because the Lord keeps telling us. He says, if it was the first covenant was good enough, what? That had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. The Lord died on the cross for a reason. Verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will stop there. A new covenant. I love what you guys are preaching because I feel it in my heart. There's something new coming. There's something new coming. And it's not to trash the old. It's not that at all. The Lord doesn't do that. He says, but it's better. Something better. I'm feeling in my heart and I'm starting to see it. And I'm a little scared. I could share some of it, but it's kind of scary because I'm stepping out. But I'm seeing something. It's more than what we've been doing. But what we're doing is good. But the Lord keeps showing us it's going to be better. Okay? Here we go. So, verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I'm going to stop there. Because one of the things we need to know is when you read Scripture, and I got one of these, I got a Bible, and I got it both in English and Spanish, where it gives, when it quotes the Old Testament, it'll give the verses. I don't know if you've got a Bible like that. Some of your Bibles will say Jeremiah 31. Okay, we have a lot of, I have family that are Jewish, and they don't see the Messiah. They can't see it. Even though the Messiah is there, even though the Old Testament, so here we got Scripture, Hebrews 8 and verse 8 starts quoting Jeremiah 31. And when I see that, I go back to Jeremiah 31. Well, what was happening in Jeremiah 31? Because he's talking about something new. He's not talking about, let's dig up the old days. If you've ever been, Melissa and I were in Flagstaff, and there's brothers there, and they're good people. They're still singing songs 20 years old. It's okay. I like them, but it's not new. And the Lord created us for new. And here we got a new covenant. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant
and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. I want that. I want that. I want that, where I want to be among God's people, where we don't have to do this. I want to be where, like, wow, we all get it. That's what I really want. I want us to get it, because so many times I don't get it. And it's easy to hide from you guys, but I can't hide it from Melissa. He don't get it. So here we got the Lord saying, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make, and what is he going to say? He says, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. We know that's salvation. The Lord saved his people. He brought them through, out of Egypt, out of the flesh, into salvation, into the promised land. And did they get it? No, they didn't get it. They were surrounded by God's provision. They saw a sea open up, but they still didn't get it. And like I said, sometimes I don't get it. I've seen people delivered by demons a lot, and sometimes I still don't get it. I've seen people walk free of demons who were captive for years, and sometimes I still don't get it. But here he says, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Okay, I don't want that. That scares me when I read that. I don't want that. I want verse 9, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I want that. I want God's law. I don't want to have to say, Ramon, what'd you do that for? And I really don't want you guys saying that either, because I make mistakes. But I want the Lord to say, you know, this is cool. This is great. My kingdom is growing. Well done, good and faithful servant. And they shall be my people. I want to be God's people. I want to be in the presence of God's people. I want to be in that great supper. I want to hear all the languages of the earth saying hallelujah. Because we all know that's the one word and all the languages is the same. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I need that. I need that so much. I need his mercy. I love his mercy, his grace. If I don't have his grace, I couldn't function. I need his hope. I need his presence. In verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. I'm really loving right now what we're hearing from the pulpit here. There's something new, and it's good, and it's God's kingdom. And I will share a little glimpse of what the Lord is speaking to me. Now he's not speaking that to everyone, he's speaking that to me. It's kind of like, remember I gave the example of the doctors, how they put two things together. You know, the Lord has given me a heart to preach and to teach, but there's a second part the Lord is opening my eyes to. And what's interesting is, remember how I said sometimes the world gets it and we don't? I spent 23 years as a professional. I was an engineer. I went to work 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, sometimes later every day. And I was a captive. I didn't know it. I didn't know I was being indoctrinated. I was being indoctrinated in things that weren't biblical. I was a Christian and I could even recognize it. I didn't like it. But the Lord has taught me, the Lord keep, and I'll share this, I don't want to get too much detail because I don't want to embarrass myself if I don't complete it. But I gotta combine, kind of like the doctors combine two things to have something good. So the Lord's showing me, you got to take that word that you're giving them. You got to take that love you're giving those people. Because I do love them. I love these people. And I got to combine it with work. I don't know what that looks like. But one of the things I do know is when you have someone's attention for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours a day, you have their attention. And they're what? Remember the progression in 1 John? They're listening. And when they're listening, what can happen after that? They can see it. And then what's the next progression? They can gaze upon it. And then they can touch it. And then they can get it. I want people to get it because I spent enough of my life not getting it. I really want to get it. I don't want to... It breaks my heart. And I let them know, too, when I see these inmates in these rehabs. It's like, don't I know you? And once they hear that, they're always like, yep. Where do I know you? Over here? Or over in that other city? Or they don't like to hear that because they don't get it. And it breaks my heart when I see them fall. It really does. I tell them that, too. I say, my heart is broken that you're here. And they say, I know, I'm sorry. So, like I said, I don't want to go too deep because the Lord has just given me a little piece of this. Somehow, I don't know what it's going to look like, is preaching, teaching with work. Don't know what it looks like. I really don't. But again, that's a vision. I don't want to go, again, too deep. So one of the things the Lord has showed me, too, is... Like I said, when I was reading through this, and I kept reading Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is my favorite prophet. And I think most of you guys know, do you know how many souls Jeremiah brought into the kingdom? There's not a record of a single soul. He wasn't like, he didn't bring the myriads. He didn't bring the thousands to the Lord. There's no record he brought a soul. But he suffered. And I know what that's like. I've preached early on. I remember preaching. I give invitation. No one would come. I'm like, Lord, do you really want me to do this? Yeah. Okay, I'll keep doing it. So one of the things the Lord showed me is if the Lord is quoting Jeremiah in Hebrews, let's go to Jeremiah. Because we got to know what was happening. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Because when the Lord quotes, you know, one thing I've just learned is get the whole picture. You got to see the whole picture. If he's quoting from Jeremiah 31, go there and see what is happening in Jeremiah. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Excuse me, let me get some water. Okay, Jeremiah 31, and again from the New King James. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. For thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines in the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Did you notice how there's a couple together? Let's go to Zion, to the Lord our God. They're together. When we see Zion, we see the Lord. We see his presence manifested, and it's beautiful. And you know, when you read Jeremiah 31, the people in Israel weren't doing very good. And when I look around at my own nation, it's like, I'm grieved. Sometimes we're not doing very good. We don't get it. I have good friends. Melissa knows what I'm talking about. Servants of God are getting tied up with things they shouldn't be getting involved in, wasting their time. And here we have, what does the Lord say? He doesn't do this. When I go to the rehabs, the guys in Mexico, the guys in the rehabs, they've all seen this. They all know once I say, you know, God's not, that's not who he is. He's doing this. He wants to bring us back. Read those words here. He says, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest, when God's people disappointed him. Yes, midway through verse 3, yes, and I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's who God is. When we mess up, when we don't get it, he doesn't do this to us. He wants to bring us back. He wants to grow that kingdom. And here it says, therefore, with what? With loving kindness, I have drawn you. And the Lord has given me this message many times. Is our Lord, is the Lord a restoration? It's just who he is. He can make beauty grow out of the ashes. He can take our worst mistakes. He can take our shameful, most shameful past, and he can change it to something beautiful. I love where our Lord says, verse 4, again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt. I like that because when I've been a Christian for 25 years now, and all those years, they're not as strong as it was. Lately, just week by week is getting better. But when I look at this, it's like I'm kind of embarrassed what happened 24 years ago. But the Lord says, no, I'm going to rebuild you. And this is, Pastor Calvin, this is what the Lord just keeps speaking to me about his kingdom. God is rebuilding his kingdom. And I'm going to tell you what happened last night. I got a picture. I'll go to it right now. I got a picture, actually, I posted on my Facebook page. I got a picture, these are 11 people. And kind of rough crowd, actually, but actually a very receptive crowd. The guy in the middle holding my clipboard, he heard the gospel, I guarantee, for the first time. You know how I know? When they're sitting like this. And they're like, no way. Really? Yeah. I mean, I could see in his face, this guy received. And this other guy right here, right where my finger is, he was demon-possessed. I could see his eyes fading in and out. I was telling Pastor Barbara, his eyes were barely squinting. He could barely even open them. And he was listening, though. And I always ask him, you know, at the end of a service, I always ask, who wants to accept the Lord? Come forward. They do. And almost always now, just because so many need it, I say, who needs to be delivered of demons? And they come too. And this guy came front and center. And we prayed a prayer of throwing out the demons. And this guy is like, I did a double take. After the prayer, I always look around because I can see in their eyes. I don't know why, but I see in people's eyes if they've been delivered. And this guy's like, whoa, man, you received. And he's like, yeah, it was really cool. It's like, so I saw God's kingdom last night. Not very far from here. 30th Ave and between 3rd and 4th Street in Agua Prieta. I saw God's kingdom grow. This young man right here, he's holding up a Bible I gave him. This guy's on fire for Jesus. He is like, I mean, when I'm preaching, he's taking notes. This guy's ready. I gave him a little notebook because this guy takes notes. God's kingdom is growing. There's nothing more precious than this. This is it. It's what God has given me, and I'm seeing God's kingdom grow. And I love the teaching we're getting, pastors, because that's what it's all about. It's God's kingdom. And I love the newness. I mean, it's kind of funny. I always think what's going to happen, and I don't know. It just never works out that way. So, again, here's a picture. And is it all perfect? No, this guy here, he's a gangbanger. He's throwing signs at me. They do that one time. They get mad at me, and they'll throw their signs at me. I know what that is! And they're like, okay. They do them to prison. They do that. Los pandilleros, they throw their signs at me. I don't know, man. I don't like that. Don't be doing that. But it's okay. Because I can go through this picture and I say that he received, there's one woman in there. And unfortunately, the women get locked up with the men sometimes. She received. So God's kingdom, it's new. It's growing. It's beautiful. It's forgiving. It's restoring. If I could tell you, I mean, some of the things I hear from these people, things they've done, it's kind of scary. But that don't matter. Because God is healing. God is doing a work. God can take the most vile sinner. I love what Paul says. I'm the worst of sinners. And he still saved me. And, okay. So here we have in Jeremiah. Again, my favorite prophet. You might correct me if I'm wrong, but I've read this prophecy many times. I've never seen a single salvation. I've never seen a single person get saved under the authority of Jeremiah's prophecy. I might be wrong, and if you find it, let me know. I've never found it. But I see a man who kept doing what God told him to do. Go do it, and he saw it. Jeremiah saw it, and he gazed upon it, and he touched it. But I can tell you, it's kind of like my hand yesterday in Agua Prieta. The shadow, it was just a shadow. And we'll go back if we have time. Again, I don't want to push the time. We see things, and it's not always visual. You know, like this, this is kind of visual. It's really cool. God, give this to me. He gives me where I can see someone get delivered. He's given it me where I've seen people get saved. He's given it to me where I see people who are hungry for the word. But I went through seasons where I didn't see nothing. I would go to the prison with my mentors and it's like, I'm preaching my heart out. I'm not seeing nothing. I preached in the prison in Winslow for 3.5 years. And I really didn't see fruit until the last year and a half, and I saw a lot of fruit. But just like Jeremiah, listen to what God's telling you. See it. Imagine it. I know sometimes it'll come in a dream. I can't explain it. It's different for everybody. Me, the Lord, he visits me at night. So here we have the Lord saying, arise, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. People being brought into Zion, into the God's city, into God's presence. Verse 7, I'm going back to Jeremiah 31, verse 7. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the woman with child, the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. I read those words and I just hear restoration. I hear people being brought back into the kingdom. I see people, I don't know where these people come from. Occasionally they do come from Christian homes. It has happened. I don't know where they're coming from, but the Lord says, come on home. Come on home, and I'm going to give you a place. I love this. I'll bring them from the north country. Interesting. I will gather them from the ends of the earth. The Lord is doing it right now. The Lord is bringing people from the ends of the earth, and we're just, pay attention, because you don't know, especially in a missions church, you don't know where he's going to send you. But listen, get the vision. And when you get the vision, gaze upon it. And then touch it. Do it. Receive it. So here we have our Lord. And you know what the one thing that's amazing with the Lord is? He doesn't give up. I love that song. He never gives up. He never gives up. And I just remember as a new believer, I was like, well, you know, when's this kingdom going to happen? I'm ready. You know, we've all heard of the people that go off, and the Lord says, don't do that. When I come, you're going to know it. I don't have to wait for the big thing to happen. I just need to know. I need to see those shadows and participate. I need to see when people are hungry and give them the goods. I need to follow what the Lord says. You're going to couple this ministry with work. Lord, I don't know how to do it. I better start gazing upon it. I better start gazing upon it and then doing it. I got to do it. Okay? So here we have our Lord. He doesn't give up. He is about restoring. Verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Okay, last I checked, that's everybody. Hear the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the isles afar off and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil. For the young of the flock of the herd, their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. I don't know, when I read that, so last night in Mexico, just because sometimes they don't see it, I read to them Revelation 21. Let me just read what I didn't read much of it to them. It's about the Lord. Verse 1. Hold on. Let's flip there. I wasn't counting on that, but it's okay. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. This is New Jerusalem. This is New Zion. This is the new thing, the kingdom, the freshness of the kingdom that I hear you guys preaching about. I can see a shadow of it. It's coming. This is the big one. This is the ultimate. But I know there's a shadow right now. I feel in my heart. Pastor Calvin, you preached on it, and I was almost jumping off my seat. Because like, yeah, that's what I think. We're going to see a shadow, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be, we're going to taste a little bit of that kingdom. It's not going to look like chapter 21, but it's going to have the appearance. We're going to see people set free in multitudes. We're going to see people praising God in unity like we've never seen before. We're going to see people who aren't living double lives. Let me explain what I mean by that. I, like I said, I worked 24 23 years. And every Monday morning when I went to work, my faith had to get checked at the door. And I'm serious. There were companies I worked for where they said, oh, you can't do that. And if you do that, we're going to fire you. And I was disobedient to my Lord, and I kept working there. Until 4 years ago when the Lord says, you're excused. Please, let's leave. Go do what I told you to do. So the Lord, we're going to see people set free of that. We're going to see people going into work on Monday mornings, joyfully praising God of heaven. I don't know what that looks like. We're going to see people who aren't checking their faith at the door when they go to work. We're going to see people whose work is an expression of their faith. We're going to see, it's going to be beautiful. Is it going to look like chapter 21? No, not exactly. But it's going to kind of look like that. It's going to have a taste of that. It's going to have an image of that. It's going to be beautiful. Okay. I don't want to extend beyond. Okay. I'm not going to go through chapter 31 completely. The verses that we read, by the way, in Hebrews are verse 31 through 34. Let me finish the chapter. Let me just read the last three verses of Jeremiah 31. Okay? Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord, from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight forward over the hill, Garab. Then it shall turn toward Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron, to the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down anymore forever. The Lord's going to restore. The Lord's really put on my heart to get close to Israel. I'm not saying it's a message to everybody, but the Lord's really put that on my heart. I need to get close to Israel. Don't know what that means exactly. But I need to get close to something's going on. Something big is going to happen. And it's going to be, I truly believe in my heart, it's going to be that kingdom. We're going to be touching things. We're going to be seeing things. And so many people, our older people are going to say, we've never seen that before, but it's good. And the younger people are going to be like, praise God, this is great, it's fresh. So I'm going to stop there. Again, I gave you three examples. The young man who didn't get it because he didn't listen. The people of the world I work for, they saw it. They put two things together and they got it. Okay, it's a secular example. And the other one was where I heard it and Pastor Calvin told me. I listened. I got something in the middle of the night. I came here and I checked it out on my own. And I did it. I touched it. So again, I'm going to tell you right now, believers in Jesus Christ, that the Lord is going to give you, he's going to give you your part of this kingdom. The Lord is generous. He shares his kingdom with his kids. He's like a generous mom, a generous father. He wants to give us our authority of this kingdom. But we have responsibilities. We got to listen. We got to see it. And we got to gaze upon it. And then we got to touch it. Okay? And are things going well in this world? That depends how you look at it. If you look at God's growing his kingdom, that's pretty cool. So I'm not going to focus on the negative stuff because it'll just pull me down. I'm seeing God's kingdom. God's kingdom is going to rise. When I see people, I'm talking, you know, some pretty rough people around the edges. No, they're rough actually all the way through. I'm seeing some cool things happening. And when we go down to Navajo, I'm going to see more. And if I get to go to the prison in Obregon, I'm going to see a lot. So take this as a word of encouragement. God's offering you a chunk of that kingdom. Listen, see it, gaze upon it, touch it, receive it. It's going to be beautiful. And all this other stuff that the world's trying to pull you down, the world just wants to discourage you so you don't listen. The world doesn't want you, the world, the enemy, who's, you know, prince of the air, he don't want you to see it. He don't want you to gaze upon it. And he certainly don't want you to touch it. Okay, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just acknowledge your word. We acknowledge your order. We acknowledge, Lord Jesus, your kingdom. It's in our hearts, Lord Jesus. We want to see your kingdom. We want to touch your kingdom. We want to see people brought into your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we declare that this is your kingdom and the enemy has nothing on it. We declare, Lord Jesus, that you will have your way. And Lord, we just want to be obedient. Speak to us. Give us that vision that we may gaze upon it and we may touch it. Lord Jesus, I just declare your authority over everything. I throw out spirits of doubt. I throw out anything that's not of you. I declare you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I eagerly seek you. I want to see your kingdom grow today, tomorrow, this weekend, this next week, the month to come, this summer, this autumn, this new year you're going to give us. Lord, we want to see that kingdom. Show us your kingdom. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Okay. So, thank you, Pastor.